It's me, Buckmaster, Bill Buckmaster, to be exact, along with Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show. As we say, on the other side of the glass. That doesn't mean we don't like him, but we just keep him on the other side of the glass. November the 30th upon us, the midweek edition of Buckmaster. Yesterday's high, 54 degrees, the coldest high since coldest day since last February 3rd. So it's been a while since we've had that kind of cool temperature. I can tell a difference already. It's a little warmer today, and our bird baths, the water in the bird baths did not freeze last night at our house, even though we covered up everything. Anyway, let's go to the live line right away and bring in Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek, who I am sure was out running today despite the very chilly morning. How are you, Councilman?
It is never too cold to run, right? We were in Alaska in January training some Iditarod dogs. It was about 12 degrees below, and you layer up enough, and you just get out and go, right?
Yeah, so you were out. How many miles did you do today, Steve?
Here's the honest-to-God truth. I have tendonitis in my knee, so
oh,
I was just
really?
Hobbling. Yeah, hobbling along, but I will be out doing as many as I can, irrespective of the cold, as soon as I can.
We just heard Ed Alexander on the news talking about homeless people or cleaning up city streets. Do you know anything more about that?
It's a pilot program that we have in place. It's modeled after a program that's being run in Albuquerque, and generally it's a partnership with the private sector. We pick them up in a van in random places around the downtown core and South 12th Avenue, take them and have them do some of the landscaping work that needs to be done around town, and drop them off at a receiving site. At the end of the day, they're paid cash and given some warm clothes and things along the way, so it's a good deal.
Could it expand a little bit?
Yeah, it could, and the reason I say it's pilot is because it's going to take some private sector funding to keep going. With the van is necessary to keep going. So we're running it a couple of days a week right now just to try and get it up and off the ground. In Albuquerque, it's run 5 days a week, and so they've been doing it longer than obviously we're just starting it, and so they've got more partners built up. But this, I'm confident that once people see that the thing has legs, it'll grow as well.
How about dotting the I's and crossing the T's on the Raytheon deal? Some folks have been concerned that the council did not sign off on this when that announcement was made by Raytheon and the governor last week. Was it last week or long?
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Last week.
Yeah.
That and the council has held off on this. Was this just a is there some legal housekeeping here or what?
Yeah, see, this is a multi-jurisdictional agreement. In fact, it's not just jurisdictions. Tucson Airport Authority is involved. The Air Force is involved. Obviously, Raytheon's involved. The county, the state. There are lots of different players in this. We're going to get the deal done. The governor came out and made an announcement, and then the county came out and made an announcement. We're still negotiating at the table, but the elements that we're negotiating over are kind of like what you just described. They're dotting I's and crossing T's. They're not substantive issues. The deal's not going to fall apart. It's just that they got out ahead and made an announcement before we finished ours. Part of it also has to do with when council meetings are held. The governor's not constrained by having to wait for a council meeting to go into executive session and come out with a signed document. The county had their meeting before we did, and we just weren't done yet. But we'll get it done. It's a really good deal, and it's good for the region. It plays right into the whole mantra that I've been preaching on your show and wherever I can about the importance of the Sonoran Corridor and building out that area, the aerospace corridor, down around Raytheon, down around the Port of Tucson, down around Tucson International Airport, down around I-10 and I-19 to connect us with Mexico, connect us with over the road cargo, freight cargo, air cargo, and preserving, protecting, and expanding Raytheon. So it's really going to be a good deal, and nothing substantive. That deal's not falling apart.
Yeah, and I know you were talking about this when the bond elections came up.
Yep.
You were saying and said to our listeners, please consider this Sonoran Corridor. It's a big deal. Look how big a deal it is. The whole Raytheon expansion is
yep.
built around this. It's huge.
Yep, it is huge. And I just mentioned the air cargo. I just mentioned the freight cargo. Port of Tucson got a $5 million federal grant to extend their rail spur to connect with Union Pacific. We just got a huge federal infusion for Port of Tucson. The Mexican port at Nogales, and so we have all the pieces in place. And from a regional perspective, international trade perspective, you just see this auto plant that's announced, Lucid, mm-hmm. up in Casa Grande.
Yeah,
they're going to have some Mexican partners as well in Sonora. Raytheon absolutely guaranteed when they get this expansion made, they will have partners that are part of their horizontal supply chain are going to want to open their manufacturing, their logistics operations right out there as well. This is where it needs to happen for this region. You know, I've been as big a proponent of downtown revitalization, redevelopment as anybody, but at the same time, I'll be the first one to say those are largely service sector jobs, and they're not going to be what we need to pull ourselves out of the economic situation that we were in starting in 2008. These jobs that we're talking about with respect to Raytheon and out around the Sonoran Corridor are exactly what this region needs in order to grow economically.
All right. Caller Tom wants to bring up a subject that I was going to bring up to Councilman Kasacek to entertain, and that is the proposed sales tax. Go ahead, Tom. You're with the councilman.
Steve, what will the city council do if the proposed sales tax fails?
Okay.
Well, let me give a little background on what the sales tax is about first, and kind of back my way into that answer. Nothing is decided yet, but it is very, very likely that we will be asking in May that the voters approve two things, maybe three, but two for sure. Number one is, will you voters allow the city to increase our sales tax by 0.5 cent, up to 0.5 cent? That 0.5 cent would yield about $50 million. The second and third questions would be, if the answer to that first question is yes, then what portion of that $50 million would you like to see to go to roads, and what portion would you like to see to go to public safety? And my bias is towards vehicles, public safety vehicles. So we right now have a proposal on the table from the city manager that I disagree with in form, but not in substance. The way he's asking that we more heavily weight the 0.5 cent towards public safety. I say it should be more heavily weighted towards roads, and we can break it down further beyond that. So Tom's question is, what happens if that fails? We have been relying on the state gas tax, which hasn't been changed in 25 years. We have been relying on HERF, the Highway User Revenue Funds from the state, which have to some degree been diverted to pay for DPS, Department of Public Safety, by the state. But quite honestly, Bill, even if we received our full allocation of HERF monies, it would not be enough to take care of the needs that we have for roads. My bias is for roads. Everywhere I go, people say, fix the roads, just fix the roads.
Mm-hmm.
We have Prop 409 in place right now. Prop 409 was the property tax increase that people agreed to 3.5 years ago, $20 million a year for 5 years to do exactly that, fix the roads. That will expire. That will expire in 2018. And so the reason we are talking about the sales tax increase right now is to say, what happens, what do you want us to do, how do you want us to fund road repair once the sales tax, once the property tax, once 409 expires. So to the question, what do we do if it fails, we're back to relying on HERF funds, we're back to relying on the gas tax, which in my opinion are wholly insufficient, and that's the reason that we put Prop 409 out 3.5 years ago. The sales tax increase, I said up to 0.5 cent, because if it's left up to me, and it's not, I've got 1 out of 7 votes, I would like to see 2 separate questions go on the ballot. One is roads, and the other one is public safety. The roads piece, I would also like to see at least a 50-50 split, $25 million between roads and public safety. And I'm still kind of wrestling with the idea of whether or not it should sunset It might make sense to sunset it because at some point the RTA is going to come out for a reauthorization, and you'll have 1997 county bonds expiring that we may have some monies freed up from that for roads. And so the question as to sunset is still up in the air. And as to public safety, again, I said earlier that I've got a strong bias towards vehicles. If you see a cop car drive past you, chances, well, let me say 65% of them are beyond their useful life. Hmm. If you see a paramedic truck drive past you, over 90% of them have over 100,000 miles on them, and about 75% have 150,000 miles.
Wow.
These are expensive vehicles. And so to Tom's question, a paramedic truck runs north of $400,000 to buy one. If you see a ladder truck drive by, it's $1.5 million. So these are real capital needs. And I will say this. This is the first time since I started doing this 7 years ago that I have voted in favor of our budget. And the reason I did that was because we are finally, from an operations standpoint, structurally balanced. I said operations, not capital.
Okay.
Everybody at their home has to set aside money or take on debt to pay for the plumbing that breaks or repair the roof. Those are the kinds of things we're talking about. We got operations under control. Now it's capital needs.
All right, Councilman Kasacek, stick around. We'll do another segment with you. But first, I want to tell our listeners, not only tell them, but ask them, if you're considering a weekend getaway, how about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? It's just a 3-hour drive. There's so much to do over there. Walk through the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Take a walk in the Gila National Forest. Enjoy historic downtown Silver City. You can find the many things to do listed on the website southwestnewmexico.org. Also, the many places to stay, at least 24 great places in the area. Again, southwestnewmexico.org.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over 1 million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first 3 Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonootoole.org/holidaynights.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, Ward 6, with us on the live line. We were talking about the half-cent sales tax being on the ballot in May. There's also a push for an additional half-cent sales tax for that Penelope Jacks, who's been on this program, was talking about, something called Strong Start Tucson, which would send thousands of kids to preschool. Is this going to dilute the whole what the city's trying to do with your sales tax proposed increase, Steve?
Well, or the reverse. And I've met with the Strong Start Tucson people a couple of times, and my message to them has been pretty clear. Well, actually, there have been two messages rolled in. Number one, I'm not sure, and I've said this to them, I'm not sure that they're being broad enough in they're focused on preschool education. And I'm saying you the Strong Start people might be being a little bit too narrow in that scope, because people who want to see more heavy funding for education generally might say, well, that's too narrow a scope, doing pre-K. But to your exact point is, yes, I have said to them, we are going to go out in May. They are coming back out in November. And so I'm not sure that their ask is going to dilute ours. My concern on their behalf is that we will be out ahead of them and have our question asked and answered 3 or 4 or 5 months, whatever the numbers are, before they get to the ballot. And then what they're asking the voters to do is not increase the sales tax from 2 to 2.5 cents. It'll be going from 2.5 to 3 mm-hmm. if ours passes. So now and that, quite honestly, is one of the reasons that we want to get out and we want to get this question asked. We want this to be the question that the voters are focused on when they go to the ballot and look at it in May. Is, do you want to change the charter to increase that sales tax? And if you say yes to that, do you want it to go to roads? Do you want it to go to public safety vehicles? And they're not looking at the pre-K education at the same time. They're also in November, you might have the state in the midst of litigation about Prop 123, because that's being challenged. So mm-hmm. there's going to be that education funding question going on. The state legislature is also talking about perhaps going out for a reauthorization of Prop 301, which was also education money, and it's been quite controversial here locally with respect to TOSD and whether or not they've been using those $301 dollars as they were intended to do. So you might have, if we had waited until November, we might have 3 or 4 or 5 different taxation-related questions on the same ballot. And if that were the case, the voters would likely look at them all and say, a pox on all your houses and take them all down.
Yeah. Well, and it just the focus would not, if these are both out there, people get confused. A lot of people don't follow a lot of this as closely as we do, and they may just say no to everything.
And I think you saw an example of that with the Pima County bond election last year.
Right.
There were 99 different questions, seven different questions, but 99 different projects, one of which was the Sonoran Corridor. And people looked at them and said, no, this is too much to swallow in one bite. And so, yeah, it's important. And let me just say this also. The Strong Start, I think, is an important initiative. And pre-K education demonstrably results in better outcomes for kids as they enter elementary school. I'm an absolute advocate of what they're trying to do. I'm just not so sure that the timing is good, and I'm not so sure that the method of funding is something that the voters are going to say yes to. It might be something that they want to try and pursue legislatively instead, because there is a strong push. In fact, even Diane Douglas has come out as recently as this week and said that she believes that public education is poorly funded in this state. And so they may have options that they want to consider from the standpoint of how it's being funded and when they go about trying to make the ask than to try and put it on a ballot in November after our question has already gone out.
All right, let's see if we can work another caller in here before we say goodbye in the next 4 minutes. David, you're with Steve Kasachek.
Thanks, Bill. Hi, Steve.
Hi,
I just speak for quite a few people. I've lived in Tucson almost my whole life, 28 years. And I keep waiting for the time when we're going to say that we're going to decrease taxes. Nobody's going to authorize any extra funding. We don't want more taxes. I am a household of four with a mortgage, and I earn less than $32,000 a year. Why do I want a half-cent sales tax? Why do I want a one-cent sales tax? My kid didn't go to preschool. I mean, this is ridiculous. No more money. We're not going to pass anything. You just don't waste your time putting it on the ballot. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, that's a perspective. The questions were rhetorical, but I'm going to take them as actual questions. Why would you want to raise the tax by half a cent? Because you might want a paramedic truck to show up at your house when one of your kids is choked on something and needs a paramedic's attention. Why would you want to raise the sales tax by half a cent? Because you might want to have good roads to drive on. Those are real capital needs that we are talking about. I said before the break that we finally have a structurally balanced budget from an operations standpoint. David goes and earns his $32,000 a year and buys food and groceries and pays the rent and pays for the car payment. But what he does not do from that $32,000 a year is fix the roof or fix the plumbing when it goes out or take care of some of the real capital needs that occur around around homes. And that's what we're talking about. It's the capital needs. We do not have, and no jurisdiction has, the operating capital to continue keeping the major infrastructure needs funded out of operations. That's why we're talking about a half-cent sales tax. And I said earlier also, I'm talking about two or maybe three questions. My bias is to put it on for two separate questions. Roads or public safety. And so when I said originally we're talking about an up to a half-cent sales tax, it might be a quarter of a cent if the voters just want to go for roads, or it might be a quarter of a cent if they just want to go for public safety vehicles, or it might be the whole half-cent or zero if David gets his way. But David, if you get your way, we're talking about some long-term real needs in terms of public safety vehicles. A cop car costs $55,000 fully loaded. Already gave you the costs on the fire trucks and roads. We have over $500 million in needs in this community to fix the roads, and those are real needs.
How about the hockey? How are we doing 5 weeks into the professional hockey at the TCC?
They're doing okay. You know, I was happy to have them in here as an anchor tenant for 30 nights out of the year. They're not going to again. It's nice to have them. It's minor league hockey. It's something that the winter visitors are going to probably really appreciate once they really start showing up in force from the East Coast. You know, people who understand hockey. So when I say it's doing okay with an asterisk, and that asterisk is when people start showing up here from Michigan and Chicago and back there where they know what a hockey puck looks like, it may be doing better.
Quickly, on the hands-free cell phone law, proposed law, is that gaining ground?
It's coming back to us with a proposed draft ordinance sometime or before the end of the year. I see a lot of support for it out in the community, and I work on campus as well. And so when I even talk to students who are probably some of the most prone to picking up their phone and using it while they're driving, they say, yeah, I understand it's not safe. And so people intuitively understand it. I hope we can get something done just to simply make sense for the making the road safer.
Would this be a city only, or is there some talk about joining forces with other jurisdictions?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And so this is a region-wide effort. Oro Valley is also looking at it. The county is also looking at it. And so the goal is to get some draft language in place and then have a common implementation date sometime in the spring after an education period early in the year.
All right, Steve Kasachek, thank you very much. Always good talking with you and bringing us up to date with what's going on with the council. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Steve Kasachek, Ward 6. He is a Democrat on the Tucson City Council. We are coming up to exactly 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Did you know that this year you can give more charitable tax credit dollars than ever before and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit on your Arizona state taxes? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, our monthly showdown. Also, we'll meet newly elected State Representative Pamela Powers Hanley, also our legal advisor Don Luce. All happening on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice, with worldwide live streaming on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:34 on a lovely Wednesday afternoon here in Southern Arizona. Time for our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show. It's presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, a Tucson-based bi-national economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. For the past 10 years, the organization has helped to drive significant business investment into Tucson in Southern Arizona through the primary job creation resulting in thousands of jobs and an economic impact of nearly $8 billion, with a B, dollars. For more information, log on to suncorridorinc.com. And with us on the Buckmaster Show live line, the Chief Operations Officer of PICOR Commercial Real Estate Services Incorporated, Barbie Reuter. Barbie, how are you?
Very well, Bill. Thank you.
You know, we've been having some good economic news. I mean, with the Caterpillar announcement, this announcement yesterday, Lucid Motors going to be opening a new electric car facility, manufacturing facility in our region. Yes, it's up in Casa Grande, but it's part of our region, and it's all good news. Now, is that playing into the health of the commercial real estate market?
It absolutely is, Bill. It's just a terrific time to live, work, and play in this region. And after this area really lagged the country in recovery, we've truly turned the corner. And the commercial real estate market is very closely tied to business growth and the success and health of jobs in the region. So we're seeing it really across all of the commercial sectors as well.
Let's talk about some of those sectors, Barbie. Let's begin with office. How does that look right now?
You know, when you look at all the sectors, and we track office, retail, industrial, and multifamily, those are the primary markets that we operate in. Office has been the hardest hit and the slowest to recover, but in the second half of this year, it's seen tremendous, I wouldn't say tremendous actually, but significant gains in the prospects going forward with the office using announcements like Caterpillar and growth from other engineering employers in the region will positively impact that space. It took a long time for us to kind of compress out all the excess space. And technology was a factor in office space use with, you know, law libraries used to take up a lot of space, and technology has replaced those. So that's behind us, and these jobs announcements will truly have a positive impact on our office market.
Well, a lot of people are saying this is going to be a huge boost for the multifamily sector of real estate. And, of course, that is a very key component because, let's face it, if the residential market, Barbie, is strong and doing well, it's going to affect commercial as well. It's good for everybody, right?
Absolutely. It's also interrelated. You've got job growth and that helps with construction and with absorption of space across office, industrial, and retail sectors, and then home ownership and the rental market, and I think we'll see wage growth follow as well.
Do you think that the Caterpillar announcement will spur a lot of home buying in the area?
Well, not closely tied to residential, but it's a natural follow-through that it will. There's already interest in areas that are easily located or easily accessed by downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So it's certainly a positive for downtown and a positive for the region.
How about the relationship with tenants and the landlords? Would you characterize the market as a landlord's market or a tenant's market?
Well, it's been a tenant's market for so long. We used to produce a kind of a visual pendulum that showed which way it was swinging, and it was pretty well stuck to the benefit of tenants, actually, who could negotiate some favorable conditions. for years, and all those years post-recession. And now it's pretty close to equilibrium, I would say. The kinds of inducements and incentives like free rent are diminishing, landlords are not having to compete quite as heavily as they did in the past.
Speaking with Barbie Reuter, the chief operating officer. Barbie is with PICOR Commercial Real Estate Services. And I thinking about for a business, does it make more sense to, this is probably the age-old question, Barbie, isn't it, buying or leasing their space? And what is a good way to determine what might be best for a business?
It's a great question. It largely depends on the goals of the business and where they are in their life cycle and growth. If you have a fairly stable operating concern and you don't expect to change your footprint much, then owning makes more sense than if you need the kinds of flexibility for growth that leasing might provide. And other factors as well, but that's probably one of the first cuts we look at.
How about commercial buildings? Any under construction that we should know about, and is there the demand?
There is some demand, and the challenge that we see that tempers demand is that you can still lease and purchase space at a lower rate than you could to build it. So construction costs are still higher than sale prices now in particular. But a good percentage of what's available maybe doesn't fit a new employer's needs. And so in those cases, you're seeing more build-to-suit opportunities occurring. You saw, obviously, Home Goods, who came in and built a significant 850,000 square foot distribution facility, and Caterpillar has a specific need, and the healthcare employers locally are investing a tremendous amount from TMC and on their Rincon campus, which is going to open soon on the east side, and Banner's investment by the university. So healthcare will continue to be a driver in the market as well.
I think things are looking up. I've been around town a long time, actually pushing almost 30 years in a year or so. I think that we've turned the corner and things are looking up economically. Would you agree, Barbie?
I completely agree. I tend to be an optimist myself, but we stopped pinching ourselves maybe in the last quarter or two and really realized that all indicators are moving in the right direction, and businesses are, I think, enjoying some better days. And therefore, their employees are enjoying better days.
Barbie, thank you very much for spending some time with us. I know you're on the road up to Phoenix. We had a good phone connection. We were able to hear you very well, and I appreciate your support very much, Barbie. Thank you very much.
Anytime, Bill. Best to you.
Thanks a lot. Barbie Reuter. Barbie is the Chief Operating Officer for PICOR Commercial Real Estate Services here in Tucson. She is part of our today, well, she's one of our fine sponsors, and she is also our CEO interview series interviewee today, presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated. Sun Corridor, you can find out more about what they're doing by going to their website, suncorridorinc.com. All right, we are coming up on 12:43 on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, we will meet the newest member of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. Rachel Sedgwick will be with us, and that's coming up right after the break. No Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
All right, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are on AM 1030 KVOI, and we have worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. That's my website. We've got the live stream there. And, of course, we have kvoi.com. So between the two, you're going to find us. If you're around a computer, you'll get us anywhere in the world. I want to tell you about one of our fine sponsors, Green Things. Yes, last night many people did cover with the frost cloth. If you need it for tonight, and I think we're going to be down in that 31, 32 degree area, Green Things has plenty of the Frost Kloss. So you might want to check it out. They're over at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And while you're over at Green Things, make sure you say hi to Jack and Jan, the owners, and take a look at the greenhouses full of the most beautiful poinsettias that are homegrown at Green Things. So that's the place for all of your holiday decorating. Let's welcome now the newest member of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. Rachel Sedgwick is with us. Rachel, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
And congratulations on your victory.
Thank you.
You will be filling the position held by Cam Juarez, who failed in his effort for a second term. Tell me a little bit about why you even wanted to get on the board. Why did you decide to run?
Sure. I feel like I've told this story a couple of times, but I was a teacher for over 10 years, and while I was teaching, I got to the point in my career where I really wanted to change the system, and I wasn't able to do that as a teacher, and I started studying up on becoming an administrator. I was a principal for a year at a private school, and I didn't see that there was. It's very difficult to change the system from within. And so I started looking around, and I decided to go to law school in order to make some change. And so when I was in law school, I took a family law course, and I was invited in that course to write a paper. I had to write a paper to get credit. So I chose to write about Mexican-American studies. Here in Tucson, I remembered a lot of...
Which has been going on forever.
Yes. And I remembered the drama, you know, from... 2011.
The controversy over that's been, as you say, the drama that was involved around that. Not only has that been going on forever, but the DSEG order has been, I think it's the longest running one in the United States.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. One of our callers, Jim, is on the phone. He would like to speak with you, Rachel. So we will go to Jim. I believe it's my friend Jim Kelly. Hey, Jim.
Hi, Bill. How are you? Good. Rachel, number one, congratulations on winning, and I know this is a big deal that you did win, because what we're talking about now is changing not just reality but perceptions that people have of TUSD, which I think is probably even more important, simply because people are fed up, and you've got upset parents, you've got teachers that don't want to teach there anymore, you've got kids leaving the schools in droves. Basically, what do you want to do that will change perception as well as change reality? What realities do you want to change?
Well, you know, primarily the easiest change. So there were voting blocks on this current school board. There's a majority block and a minority block, and everybody seems to be aware of that. And so my presence on the board means that there is no block. I won't join a block, so I won't vote with people. My intentions and the way I'll make change is to focus every decision I make, every vote I take, I'll be focused on the students. And do I think that this is the most beneficial decision, or can we see that this will benefit the schools, the students in some way? And so that currently right now doesn't seem to be happening so much, because people seem to be choosing people on the board instead of focusing on the students. And I've already met with several of the board members, and we are coming to consensus we won't always agree, but we agree to focus on the schools and the students. And that I do believe will bring in tremendous change very quickly.
So the departure of Cam Juarez breaks up this alliance with Crystal Foster and the board president, Adelita Grijalva, who as a majority often voted against Dr. Mark Stegeman and board member Michael Hicks. So what I'm hearing from you, Rachel, is that you will be an independent voice basically with every decision.
That's correct, yes.
That you will be looking at every decision that comes before the board, not what would be best for a certain alignment on the board members, but what would be best for the students the teachers, and really every taxpayers too, for everyone that's associated with TUSD.
Absolutely.
That includes myself being a taxpayer at TUSD. So you're going to be the independent voice.
I am the independent voice. I think just having a new person on the board means that everyone else on the board, we're all prepared to now be independent voices. We're all getting a brand new start, and I do believe that everyone, I certainly hope that everyone will all work together to be independent, but to vote for the students and the schools. It's essential that they be the ones to benefit from every decision.
Then there is the superintendent, H.D. Sanchez, who has approximately 18 months left on his current contract. There are the TUSD advocates who would like to see you move with Dr. Stegeman and Michael Hicks in a vote to fire the superintendent. You have met with him. You're going to meet some more, I guess.
Yes.
You have not made any kind of decision about his future, have you?
My thinking about the superintendent is very, I'd like to think that it's very practical and logical. And I think to myself that the measurement has got to be the scores, the achievement scores in the district, the quality of the schools in the district, the level of satisfaction among teachers and parents and community members in the district. According to those measures, the superintendent is currently not doing, he's not doing a superstar job. However, at the same time, he is receiving a superstar salary, and he gets superstar treatment. And so, really, our superstar superintendent should be leading a superstar district, and it's the job of the board to make sure that happens. The board can achieve that, I believe, at this point, without any experience with this current superintendent or on a school board. I do believe that we can create together a document that will make very clear what the superintendent's job is. And Superintendent Sanchez currently, or the next super, or whoever we're working with, should be able to look at those, at that document, at his contract, his goals and responsibilities, and understand exactly what we're looking for, and then produce those results for us or not. And then we can work from there.
So it sounds like you're saying you would be very much willing to look at a document that lays out what goals he must achieve in the remainder of his contract.
Yes, currently the goals and responsibilities that he's produced, or the board and he have produced in the past, are not very specific. They're very difficult to measure. I'm not sure if they're attainable. They're certainly not results-oriented, and they tend to not be time-bound. And I just spelled out a little acronym called SMART, and a lot of people know about these SMART goals, and it's a really simple place to start. But yes, and the strategic plan, all of these documents are very theoretical and airy, and we're going to do great things, but there's not much mention of what students are going to achieve as a result of what you do. And adding those pieces to the puzzle, if you will, that we've got there now, I do believe that will assist the superintendent to do a more effective, efficient job.
But you're not going in there saying, I want to pay this guy off and get rid of him right away. That's not what you're saying, are you?
No, I don't believe that that's best for the students.
Okay.
At this point, from my vantage point.
Mm-hmm. Now, how are you going to work with this board that is just, as many of us know, very dysfunctional? So this is going to be very interesting when you are sworn in. I believe it's early January. Is that your...
The official will have a nice big ceremony on January 10, yeah. I believe is the date.
But can we say you just really want to work with everybody?
I do. And it's really that ultimately it's because the schools are very important to me. Mm-hmm. Just theoretically, practically, and on so many different levels, the schools are very important to us as human beings, American citizens, citizens of Arizona, of Tucson, of Pima County. That was backwards.
Why'd you want to be a teacher? Was that one of your original, did you always want to be a teacher? Or did you sort of fell into it? Or
I didn't want to be a teacher. When I was little, I wanted to be president, of course.
Of course.
Like everyone. And then I wanted to be a doctor. I studied science, but I ended up graduating with a degree in English. I just took the courses I loved.
Okay.
And so at graduation, I was faced with the decision to either become a teacher or to go back to school, and I didn't want to do either. So I actually took off to Italy and my way of to pay my way, I got certified to teach English as a foreign language.
Oh, very nice.
So I fell into teaching and discovered I loved it.
And you discovered you also loved Europe too, right?
I did. I do.
All right. So in the remaining minute or so, a few seconds with you, Rachel, you're very, I assume you're very excited about this.
It is. It's very exciting. It was very overwhelming at first. I really didn't expect to win. It really does speak to the dis-ease in the district. But I am. I'm very excited. And there have already been tiny consequences of my actions, positive consequences, and that's very exciting.
Your campaign was kind of Facebook, social media, right?
In large part, yeah. I used a lot of the internet. Yeah. And I went to every gathering or meeting or, you know,
shook hands with a lot of people
town.
And talked with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Rachel, thank you very much. And I'm sure you'll be very open to hearing from the constituents
Absolutely.
That you will be representing. Thank you very much, Rachel, and wish you the very best. We'll have you on after you get settled in the new position.
Thank you very much. Sounds good.
All right. We have other talk shows here I want to tell you about. In fact, now we are doing 6 hours a day of local talk here on KVOI. Mike Shaw Show, Mike Check with Ray Allen, 4 to 5. Then we do Wake Up Tucson, 3 hours in the morning. A show called Talking Culture from 9 to 10. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, with you during the noon hour on KVOI. And we'll be back with you tomorrow with our monthly showdown, among other things. On behalf of Ray Allen, I am Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening.